Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Hello? Yo, I'm in the booth. I'm going to call you right back. Nah, I just got to put this one part down. I'm going to call you back. I'm at the studio, man. Man, quit playing with me, man. No, for real. Don't play like that. Are you serious? How you know? Put that on everything. Damn. I'ma call you back. I'ma call you back.
Every time I was in LA, I was with my ex-girlfriend. Every time you called, I told you, baby, I'm working.
No.
I was out doing my dirt.
Oh.
I'm thinking about you getting hurt.
Oh.
Hand in hand in the Beverly Center, like, man, not giving a damn who sees me.
So gone, so wrong.
Just
like I didn't have you sitting at home.
Thinking about me, being the good girl that you are. I bet you probably believe you got a good man. I mean, I never would do the things I'm about to tell you I've done. Brace yourself, it ain't good. But it would be the worst if you heard this from somebody else. I know you hate me. I know I hurt you. But there's more. Listen. Watch this.
These are my confessions. That's when I thought I said all I could say. My chick on the side. She got one on the way. These are my confessions. Man, I'm thrown in. What to do? I guess I gotta keep all two of my passion. If I'm gonna tell it, then I gotta tell it all. Damn, they cried when I got that phone call. I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do, but to keep all two of my passion.
Now, it's gonna be the hardest thing I think I ever had to do. Got me talking to myself, asking how I'm gonna tell you. About that chick on part one, I told y'all I was creeping with, creeping with. Say she's 3 months pregnant and she's keeping it. The first thing that came to mind was you. Second thing was, how do I know if it's fine and is it true? Third thing was me wishing that I never did what I did. How I ain't ready for no kid and bye bye to a relationship.
These are my confessions. That's when I thought I said all I could say. My chick on the side,
yeah.
She got one.
These
on the way.
Are my confessions.
I gotta keep
on
to my passion. If I'm gonna tell it, then I gotta
tell it all.
Damn, they cried when I got that phone call. I'm so
sorry. I don't know what to do, but to keep on to my passion. I'm so stupid trying to figure out when, what, and how I'ma let this come out of my mouth. Said it ain't gonna be easy, but I need to stop thinking, contemplating, be a man and get it over with, over with. I'm riding in my whip, racing to her place, talking to myself, preparing to tell her to her face.
She opened up the door and didn't want to come near me.
I said, what's that, baby? Please hear me.
My confessions, that's when I thought I said all I could say. My chick on the side.
Phone call. When I got
it,
didn't know what to do.
shine.
And this by far is the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do. To tell you, the woman I love, that I'm having a baby by a woman that I barely even know. I hope you can accept the fact that I'm man enough to tell you this. And hopefully you'll give me another chance. This ain't about my career. This ain't about my life. It's about us. Please.
My confession. Just when I thought I said all I could say. My chick on the side. She got one on the way. These are my confessions. Man, I'm thrown and I don't know what to do. I guess I gotta give part two of my confession. If I'm gonna tell it, then I gotta tell it.
Welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and that tune was Confession, Part 1 by Usher. I first want to say thank you to all my listeners, north to south, east to west, and all the people in the 33 countries who tune in globally for tuning in. I appreciate you. I also want to say hello to my co-host, Chris Michael Ward, for hanging in there each and every week, and I'm going to say hello to him, let him say hello, and then we're going to introduce our guest. How you doing, Chris, on this wet weekend where I'm at?
It's going pretty good in Ohio. I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, yeah, it's doing pretty much the same where I'm at. Hi, and I don't know if you can even hear the lightning and thunder, and sometimes it causes an electrical short. I hope it doesn't interfere with my server tonight. So without further ado, I want to introduce my beautiful, phenomenal guest, a wonderful woman who has danced on the international stages around the globe. She's a filmmaker, professor emerita of the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of California. She is so, so talented, you know, but I'm not going to give all her pearls up to y'all. I'm going to let her speak her own truth. And without further ado, I want to say hello to Tanya Shimin.
Hello, Terry. Thank you so much for such a beautiful introduction.
Oh,
I'm happy to be with you.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, what I didn't already tell. How you got started with the dancing, or is this a natural thing?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I've been a dancer in my life, and my parents were artists. And the main event in my recent life is that I've published a book on my father's art. He was a fine artist. And I can tell you more about myself if you wish, but I'm tempted to just go right into the book because I think that's quite interesting for people at this point. My father was a very special man who was born in Russia. And his family immigrated from Russia to the United States in 1913. And as a child, he'd wanted to be a musician, but his uncle was rather unsuccessful, he thought, as a musician. And his family and his uncle said, no, you cannot do that. And soon after that, he started drawing and never stopped. So he became an artist by apprenticing himself to a commercial artist. For a while, he ended up doing many Hollywood posters, including Gone with the Wind. And his fine art was represented early in his life when he got a huge commission to produce a mural for the Department of Justice building in Washington. And
wow.
This mural is still there today. This work is really very human, and it touches the dignity of the human and power of the human spirit. And I think it has resonance today. It has the power to touch people because of the subject matter. It's called Contemporary Justice and the Child. And we were talking previously about so much that's happening in the world today, and it's so difficult. And this painting has some very beautiful statements within it. And what happened for me is that, you know, my parents encouraged me to be a dancer my whole life and all this. And I had made a documentary film, but never a book. But when my father passed, I found many photographs of fine art paintings that are spread all over. I don't know where many of them are, but paintings that would disappear if nothing was done with them. So I decided something had to be done. This was 30 years ago I got the idea. And I was dancing and working a lot, and I had to wait till I had time, but I finally did. And I pulled a book together of his fine art. He also was a children's book illustrator of 57 children's books. So I felt his legacy needed to be preserved. And that's been my recent endeavor in the last few years to help with that.
Wow, he was so talented. He illustrated 57 children's books? That is awesome.
Yep, 57 children's books.
Oh,
and he was incredible in terms of, I mean, I was brought up in the atmosphere that all people are equal and any discrimination is awful. And my husband just said to me recently, you know, when he was in Russia, they didn't preach discrimination. You know, he saw people of all kinds, Mongols and Tartars and people of many kinds would pass through his life when he was a young child. He came to America and he saw the poverty and many people struggling. And the faces of these people, he said, never left him. So he painted people who were shunned and highlighted those who were unseen. And I think that's part of why I felt it was so important to keep this legacy alive, because it speaks to what's happening for all of us today in the world.
You're absolutely correct. And on that note, I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
Okay. My first question, Tanya, for you is, what dancers inspired you as a child? I mean, what made you want to be a dancer?
Okay. I first saw Chinese dancers at a party in my house. And interestingly enough, that caught me. That was it. And then my parents took me to see ballet and other dance, but it was ballet that grabbed me for many years. And I even went to England to study at the Royal Ballet School. When I came back to America, it was clear that it was going to be hard for me to be a ballet dancer. I was quite tall, and I decided to try modern dance, and that really worked. So I went to the Martha Graham School, and the works of José Limón appealed to me very, very much because they were so human, and I ended up in his company later on as one of the companies I was with. Anna Sokolow is another well-known dancer whose company I was in, whose work I thought was extraordinary and very powerful.
Well, let me ask you this about your dad. How did the Justice Department know who he was? I mean, because for somebody to migrate from Russia and to get that prestigious job to do that mural, my God, you know, he must have been well-known not just in Russia, but also in the United States.
No, he wasn't known in Russia at all. He was not even known in the United States. He was a young, unknown artist, but it was at the time of the WPA project, and this was a slightly different one, where it was meant for artists to compete by submission. So he had to kind of audition through a submission of a dummy drawing of what he would do. And he won the prize to do it, in a sense. He won the commission to do this particular subject. And so then he began to be known more. And people, there were some, if you go to our website, which I will tell you right now, is simeonshimon.com, and that's spelled S-Y-M-E-O-N, Shimon, S-H-I-M-I-N, all one word, .com. If you go to that website, you will see a lot of comments about this mural at that time. He began to be known more then. I mean, his work was spread between these three worlds, between Hollywood, fine art, and books. And it's kind of interesting. But many artists applied to do these murals during the WPA project days, and there are many of them in the Department of Justice building. The interesting thing about this one is it's the only one that depicts African Americans in educated and scholarly roles, and he was asked not to put them in, and he did it anyway. So I find that quite interesting, a statement for what happened then and what he stood for.
It does. I mean, because back then it was worse for it is now for us, for Black America. But I pray that people are being educated more so in the schools and not being just ignorant of the facts, because I've always told people racism is a taught behavior, because when you're children, you play with anybody. You don't care what their color is, but it's because some person, for whatever problem that they have, to want to segregate and put down different nationalities, to me that's a problem. But, yeah, you know, I'm so glad that he was one of those people who stood up for what was right, because had your father still been living, he'd probably be on the front lines for Black Lives Matter protests and marching, because it's just stupid, you know. We all...
I agree completely in terms of it's a taught behavior, and it's tragic.
Yeah.
Absolutely tragic.
Yeah,
so there we have it, on the third floor of the Department of Justice building, telling people what's right.
Well,
might have to do is go up to the third floor and look at it and get a good lesson.
Yeah, pioneer
like
him.
It's interesting, yeah, but I couldn't agree more.
Date his work, or is it just, you just see it in his name? Do you ever put a date on his work? Because that would be good for somebody to see the date of the mural and connected dots that he was a visionary beyond his years.
Right, yes. There are also women portrayed in the same sense that would not usually be portrayed that way. So he was ahead of his time. The date of the mural, it started in 1936. He completed it in 1940.
Wow.
And he spent two extra years. It was supposed to be hung after 2 years, and it was not finished. So they hung it up, and then he stayed at the Department of Justice building and painted on it, on the wall, for 2 more years.
Wow.
Sleeping in the day and painting at night.
Wow, that's something.
So I guess that speaks to a certain kind of dedication.
Yeah, I can see why your book, Art, A Legacy of Love. But before I jump into that in more detail, I'm going to let Chris ask his next question.
All right. My next question is, why did your father work, sleep during the day and work at night? Did he have like insomnia? I mean,
No. The painting was on the wall of the Department of Justice building unfinished.
Okay.
And the only time that he could paint was not during work hours.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Okay. So he had to sleep when he could sleep and paint at nighttime when no one was working in the building.
All right, I understand. And no offense, I just know a lot of artists have insomnia.
No, I understand your question. It's a good point.
Okay.
Well, when you said your family started getting you into dance and stuff, did your father have pictures of you painted of you dancing?
No, actually he did not. But he did paint a painting that's in the book that I used for a dance, for the inspiration for a dance. And he used my sister and me as models for his children's books sometimes.
Okay.
But no, he never painted me dancing. Interesting.
So the children's books, they weren't written by him? He just did the illustration for some other author?
Most of the time, but he did two that were authored by him.
Okay.
And if you go to the book, which is called The Art of Simeon Shimon, which you can see on the website, and if you buy the book, you can see the complete list of all the 57 books that he did and all of the authors.
Sounds good. Wow. Is your mom still living?
No, she passed away quite a while ago.
She was an artist as well,
and she actually had been a dancer for a couple of years. And there's also a picture on the website and in the book for a Vanity Fair cover of a dancer. So that's the only dancer my father painted that I know of.
Well, Tanya, I know that your mom danced, your father painted, you danced. Tell me that your sister did something as well.
I couldn't get that question. Could you repeat it, please?
Yes. Tell me that your sister... some of the talent from your dad.
Oh,
and your
yeah,
mom.
Yeah. My sister is a very well-known documentary film editor. And all of us are working in the same vein of things that are very, of telling the human story. So she's definitely picked up that. And we also are all very hard workers. My father worked very hard. My sister works very hard, and I did too. We're very persistent.
Well, don't give up. And
it's pretty funny, yeah.
Maybe tomorrow I need to talk to you about some other stuff. But that's awesome. So, at what point did you realize that you had a natural ability opposed to having to go to a school, like a school of the arts? Or did you go to a school of the arts?
Well, from the age of 3 1/2, when I saw the Chinese dancers, I wanted to be a dancer. That was very clear. I studied ballet as soon as I could, which was starting at 8. And I went to the High School of Performing Arts in New York, for a time, and then went to England to the ballet school there, and then came back to America. So it was I was always seeking out the best training I could get. And
yeah.
Many of the great ballet dancers were my models, and I adored them, and I was following them very carefully as a young dancer, and admiring and learning from them as much as I could from watching a great deal. So there were incredible people around to be mentors, you know, even if one didn't know them, just to go and see performances. And I studied with some exceptional people, so that was very wonderful.
Well, Tanya, I'm so impressed because at least, you know, they say the apple don't fall far, you know, from the tree. You know, it seems like, you know, your family is just talented. And they encourage that, and I encourage people listening, if you see a child, you know, they got some ability, help motivate that and cultivate that ability because it might be their source of income down the road, you know. A lot of times we see kids good at stuff, and we laugh at, oh, that's so cute, and we do nothing with it. But if you see a child that's talented, whether it's good looks and they want to be on a baby food bottle or whatever, you know, motivate that, you know, parent to, you know,
yes,
give that child
I couldn't
that
agree
benefit.
More, and to let the person choose what they want to do and encourage that rather than telling them what they should do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I so agree. Okay, so now you got a question for Tanya. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tanya, what advice do you have for people not just dancers, but what advice do you have for all artists who want to have a career like you did?
It's pretty simple, and it's for everybody in other fields as well, to really find out what means something to you, not what someone else thinks is important, and follow through with that, and then try to find the best resources to help yourself learn that subject or area and to just steep yourself in it. Just keep going. Never give up and just really steep yourself in every aspect of it that you can so that your knowledge or sensibility is as broad as possible and not kept to something narrow within one field and then to be as widely interested in other things as well because it enriches whatever one does.
Good advice. Well, Tanya, could you explain to us how soon after the passing of your dad did you put together this book as a, you know, to honor him?
Right. My
how
father
long was
passed.
He gone, or was you doing this while he was still living?
I couldn't. I didn't even have the idea then. He passed in 1984. I was working until 2008. It
okay.
took me quite a few years after I retired to get to have the time to even start pulling material together. So it was 30 years between when I started the idea even, which was a few years after he died, until the book was completed, which is a couple years ago now. And I had to self-publish. It was told to me that I couldn't do it any other way. No publisher would take it. So I had a lot of closed doors tossed in my face that I had to try to penetrate to get this to happen at all. Mm-hmm. And it was through friends who recommended some people who helped people publish that I finally found the people who could help me publish it. And they did a beautiful job. I must thank the Mercury Press International. Once again, if you go to the website, simeonshimon.com, you can see pictures and you can see the extent of, you know, something about the book at least, and you can buy it. And there are about 100 photographs and fine art reproductions in the book. So I had to sort out all of these pictures. I had to have old negatives cleaned up, and that was 1 or 2 years just doing that.
Wow.
And
there
are so many aspects to publishing a book that I had to learn as I went along.
Yeah, I am so glad you did that, because this is something that's not going to be lost. People don't realize that, you know, when you publish a book, like as of today, if you publish a book, that book is good until that writer dies plus 99 years. So nobody can just come in there and swoop it up. So I'm glad that his work will be around for my grandkids and their children to see, because that's some awesome stuff, and I appreciate, you know, you sharing that with the world. But before we have to get up out of here, could you tell everybody once again how to reach you and what the book is?
Certainly, and thank you so much. You can go to the website to see about the artist and the book. The book is called The Art of Simeon Shimon, and the website is simeonshimon.com, and it's spelled S-H-I-M-I-N. Simeon, S-Y-M-E-O-N-S-H-I-M-I-N.com. And my email is on there. Please contact me if you're interested. I'd be happy to speak with you or hear from you. If anyone has interest, this would be wonderful.
Well, I pray that, you know, where you at, you have a great weekend. And I'm so glad that your dad was a visionary to put out then what we're just starting to understand today. You know, he was ahead of his time. And, you know, I hope that this stuff was dated so people can see that's how far ahead of his time he really was. But anytime, you know, you want to be on the show again, Tanya, Chris, what do we tell people?
Oh, how sweet. Well, thank you very much. I'm so happy to share this with you and meet you this way. And I do hope this work will have meaning for many people in the future. So I thank you so much for having me.
We
tell people, Tanya, to say to you.
Yeah, Tanya, we tell people that once you've been on the show, you're family. That's what Terry was trying. That's what me and Terry wanted you to know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's so great. I have to come to Alabama, too.
Yeah. Well,
when we can all travel again. Thank you. That's really sweet.
A lot of people coming there because of the fires in California to the beaches and stuff. But anyway, just call me. Whatever you want to talk about, just let me know, and we can make it happen. We can get you back. And on that note, I wish everybody a good weekend. We're going to end this with Bette Midler, The Glory of Love.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
This is a song I've been singing for a long time. It's like an old friend. But, you know, I think it's only recently that I discovered what it's really about. You've got to give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart break a little. That's the story of, that's the glory.
that's the glory.
That's the glory of love.